Hey, we're Three Mormons. We're a YouTube show.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Thanks for listening.
So if you've been watching the show, you've heard me reference how I'm a convert a few times. Well, today I thought I would share with you guys my conversion story. It's a pretty fun one, so if you're interested, hang on for the ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a whoopsie and a daisy and a hoot and a toot and a kibbles and bits. I don't know if like a third thing to go with there. And it starts in a beautiful little city called Cypress, Texas, home of Danielle Bradbury, country singer and season 4 winner of The Voice, and rapper Riff Raff. So it's Kwaku, Danielle, and Riff Raff. It's a notable number to come from Cypress, Texas. It starts in middle school. I was raised in a Christian-ish family, you know, kind of a mix of everything. We kind of were able to do whatever we wanted. We had just about every religion in our family, so we could take our choice on what we wanted to believe in. I went to a church called Harvest Bible Church, which was this beautiful church in the middle of the woods near my neighborhood, right? And I would go with my friends every Sunday and Wednesday, and it was a lot of fun. I would listen. I didn't know what they were talking about, but it was fun because there was always donuts and coffee in the back room, and I would always drink coffee without my mother knowing. And I would have a bunch of donuts. It'd be a great fun Sunday. And I would go on Wednesdays, and we'd have Bible study, and it was a ton of fun. Even as a little kid, I had questions, though. My biggest questions were, what happens to people who die who aren't Christian? Because I didn't really think it could be possible that they would just, you know, just go to hell. Like, this all-loving God loves everyone, but if you have the wrong religion, he's going to send you to the flames of Mordor. I did not think that's how God worked. That was a big question I had. I wanted to know what happened to babies who died, what happened to mentally challenged people, what happened to gay people, just people who were different in certain ways, what happened to them when they died. Because you had to have a certain knowledge to understand Christ. And even I didn't have that knowledge. So if I died right then and there, what would happen to me, you know? So I had these questions, and I would speak to my pastor, I'd speak to friends, and they'd never really give me an answer. And I remember being, I think I was in 7th grade, and I was sitting in the pews of this wonderful church, by the way, it is a wonderful church, listening to the pastor, and I just remember thinking, who says this guy is right? This is just some guy with a Bible who's speaking up there. There's like, how do we know if this guy's right, you know? And in 7th grade, I had this idea. I was like, this is just a guy who's saying something. We don't really know if he's right. So I would listen, and I would come up to him with these questions, and he would try to answer them. I'd be like, yeah, well, what about this? And it felt weird. So 8th grade came, and I just kind of decided, you know, I'm pretty sure this might just be a bunch of hullabaloo. I don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. I don't believe in things like that. So maybe God just isn't real. That was my opinion. Maybe it's just an idea. And I was in 8th grade, so I was about to go into high school, and I was like angsty, you know. I was like, I know things. I'm an independent thinker. I know how to do things for myself, you know. I was that kind of guy. And I just kind of decided, you know what, maybe religion isn't a real thing. It's just a man-made construct. There's no truth in it. So I went into high school just thinking, you know, there's probably nothing there. That all changed when a really pretty girl came into the picture. Her name was Daria. Actually, it was two girls. One's name was Daria, and she was new. She just came from the country of Moldova. And there was a girl named Courtney, and they were both super pretty. And I was so ugly. I was so ugly in high school. And I had Spanish class, which I was failing miserably, did not do any work. And I was so obnoxious. They were so annoyed by who I was. And I was just like in love with both of them. I was like, oh my gosh, they're so pretty. And every time I would say something about them, they would be increasingly horrified by who I was. So I was talking to them, and then out of nowhere, Daria invited me to go to something called Fall Riot with her, which was this big celebration where there's Christian rock bands and we raise a bunch of money to build wells in Africa. And my main thing was that Daria invited me. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go, you know, like with you know, probably not the best of intentions. And so I went, and her first words when I walked in were, oh my gosh, you actually came? And I was like, yeah. So I was super nervous, and this was not my normal crowd. All my friends at the time were like skateboarders. So this is like, these are like preppy, nice, wholesome people who were not at all like me. And I was like, oh, this is not my scene. I felt really weird. And so I was sitting down and I was listening to these youth pastors and this great music. And I was like, you know what? This is nice. This feels nice. This is how things should be. And I was listening. I didn't buy half of it, but I still felt something. It felt a little bit of a, you know when you're lighting a birthday cake and lighting a candle on a birthday cake, and you hit the switch a couple times, the only little spark comes out. That was that. I was just a little spark that was coming. And I was paying attention. I decided, you know what? Maybe I'll come back next Wednesday. I'll come to this youth service next Wednesday. I came back. Partially because it felt good, other part because there was a pretty girl there. So I would go every week, and I ended up feeling like it was good. I started to believe in God again, but I did not feel like it had all the answers. There was like things I didn't understand. And as I was there longer, I started to see people who I went to high school with who were not following the rules very well. Even to church, I would see girls and their shorts were like, you know, they're wearing like two post-it notes and a sugar packet, you know, they weren't wearing anything. And I was kind of like, huh, that's weird for church. Yeah, it's fine. Or I would see people, right when they would leave, I would hear people cussing, just things that I felt like weren't that good. And mind you, I'm not an angel at this point either. I'm just a guy who's like looking around trying to see what I think, what I believe in. And I didn't feel that the people were being wholesome. I didn't feel like they were being very Christian. As I was getting a little older, there was these people going to parties, they were drinking, they were doing the dirty, they were doing some stuff that I was like, oh, I know for a fact you're not supposed to be doing that. So my question started coming like, all right, well, what is a Christian? I mean, we're supposed to follow rules, right? Because I figured if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be like a Christian. I'm going to be full in. I'm going to actually try to live it the best I can, because I don't want to seem like a hypocrite, right? Of course, I still was a hypocrite. but I didn't want to seem like a hypocrite. So I was like, what's going on? I don't buy this. This is silly. You guys are not being real followers. I didn't say that. That's not a very nice thing to say. I wouldn't say that to them. But in my head, I was thinking that. I didn't think that, you know, a lot of these people at my high school were being actual followers of Christ. Eventually, I was on a homecoming court. And this is where the story gets interesting. I was on homecoming court. I was nominated, and I had a ton of nominations, and my ego was through the roof. I was like, yeah, I'm going to win. I'm Kwaku. I'm awesome. And there was this other girl who I was very into. And I won't say her name. I was very into this girl. She was super great. She was super fun and pretty. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to talk to this girl, or we're going to date. Because I had yet to date a girl up until that time. I was a junior in high school. How sad is that, right? So I get a bunch of friends, and we skip class. And I get a bunch of poster boards. And they say, Kwaku plus equals homecoming. And we went to lunch, and we put them up. And I asked her in front of everyone, gave her flowers, and everyone started clapping, and it was a wonderful thing. And because I skipped class and disrupted lunch, I had a full day of detention the next day. So, and that's when I actually found out I was nominated for Homecoming Prince, when I was in the room alone. There's a couple of other scary people in there, but I was just sitting in the room alone, like, oh, well, they announced that I was nominated, had no one to celebrate it with. The day comes, and we take pictures at homecoming. And I lose my nomination to a guy who was nominated, like, as a joke. His name is Larry, and he didn't speak, and he won. So I was like, what? Oh, come on. And so then my friends and my date invite me to this after party. It was this really big after party, and I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. We go, it's in Waller, Texas. We drive up. And the first thing we see when you get out is a horse just galloping by. And right when I saw the horse running by, I knew it was going to be a weird night. I just knew it. We walk up this trail to get to the front door. I open it, and a wall of marijuana smoke just hits me. I'm just like, whoa, it just hits me. I immediately knew I was stepping into Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, it hit me hard, and I was like, oh no, this is going to be bad. And in my stomach, I knew that something bad was going to happen. So I come in, and I'm seeing all these people, a lot of these Christian people I went to school with, I went to these churches with, and I was doing some things that were not Christian. I saw some bad things, and I was like, whoa, I know your youth group, and you do not talk about that in your youth group. Like, I was not okay with this. And I was looking for my date, and I was actually texting her. I was like, where are you? And she said, after like 30 minutes, she's like, yeah, I'm here. And I'm like, well, that narrows it down. There's like 400 people here. I look into the crowd, and I see her. And no joke, if you ask my friend Kyle, he'll tell you, I see her and the crowd parted in two, and light shines. It literally just shines out of nowhere on her. And she's got this bottle of something in her hand. And then this football player just walks up, takes her face, and just goes to town, just starts making out, and then just pulls her away. And I'm just like, oh, I get hit. It hurts so much. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I knew there were rooms upstairs, empty rooms, and I knew what was going to happen. And I was just like, it physically hurt. It was like, oh gosh. It was just the worst feeling ever. So I was like, I got to get out of here. I take my friend and I leave. I'm still dressed in my homecoming stuff. I have a tie and a white shirt on. Everyone else is dressed in like party stuff. Like they've got a cool hat and nice jeans and like shirts. And the girls are wearing like high shorts and stuff. I'm dressed like a dad to this party, heartbroken because my date and is getting with another guy. So I leave and I feel terrible. I wake up the next day and I just don't want to move. I'm just like, oh, this is awful. That was one of the moments I kind of realized I didn't want to go back to a Second Baptist church anymore, because I felt like if I was going to be at a church, I didn't want to be around people I knew who weren't doing good things. And after that traumatic experience, whatever, it's a funny story now, but at the time it was this traumatic experience, I was like, I don't want to be involved with those people. My good friend Cameron, his mother was a pastor of a Methodist church, and a lot of my friends were heavily involved in this Methodist church. And he invited me after he knew what happened. He was like, hey man, you know what, why don't you come to our Wednesday night youth service? And I was like, sure, yeah. And I came, and I immediately felt like I was home. I felt great. I didn't feel any like large amounts of hypocrisy. I didn't feel like I was at school. I didn't feel like a party. It just felt good. I had this little accountability group led by someone named Mr. Dunbar, and every week we would just talk about Christ and how to follow Christ better, and just felt great. I would start to go every week. I got involved in the youth worship band. I could not sing to save my life, but I still did it. So I had like a place there. I felt good. And at the same time, I was involved in theater in school. And the Book of Mormon musical was very popular at the time. And we were always singing songs from the Book of Mormon musical. And Mitt Romney was running for president, right? So Mormons were becoming the talk of the town. They were building a meeting house in our neighborhood. And people are just kind of like, the Mormons are coming. They're coming. They're coming for us. And they built it right next to the middle school. It's like, they're going to get the little middle schoolers. They're going to baptize them, you know? I remember actually sitting down in this new church I was in. And they sent someone who was an ex-member of, you know, the LDS church. And he was kind of spilling some secrets. He was like, you know, guys, Mormons are nice, but I used to be one. And let me tell you, it's a bad church. Don't join it. There's some bad things there. And everyone's like, oh, no. And I'm just like, what? Oh, why would Mormons believe that? That's terrible. And then part of me was like, all right, okay, well, what do they really believe in? Let me hear the other side of the story. At the same time, I found a Book of Mormon. I was sitting at lunch and we were actually talking about Mitt Romney, I think. We were talking about Mormons. Little did we know, the entire, like, the rest of the table listening to us were Mormons. They were all sitting together. And this girl, I think it was Megan, her name, she tapped me. She was like, hey, we're Mormons. I'm like, oh no, like, you know, like the power of Christ compels you, like, get away from me. And eventually they, we just started talking and they gave me a Book of Mormon. I asked for one, kind of like as a joke. The next day they brought me a Book of Mormon and they gave it to me. And I was like, oh, well, what do I do with this now? And so I just put it on top of my Bible at home, which is really ironic because that's usually how Mormons sit. We have a Bible and we put the Book of Mormon on top. And I just did it without thinking. A little foreshadowing there, right? Well, eventually, I went on this mission trip to Oklahoma with my Methodist church. and it was a lot of fun. At this point, those questions were coming back into my life. I started to understand that God did exist. I didn't quite understand Jesus Christ and his role, being our Savior, or even what Savior really meant, but I knew that God was real. I had a testimony that God existed. I knew that. He had answered a lot of my prayers. So I went on to this trip, and it was a lot of fun. We went to Apache, Oklahoma, and we ran a vacation Bible school for little Native American children, and I made a lot of friends. It was great. And there's actually this Native American History Museum with beautiful artwork tracing the history of their tribes, all the way back to the creation of the world, some of them. And as we're learning about these wonderful tribes and their divine foundation and, you know, how God was present in this land, this American continent, right as we leave, there's an LDS church across the neighborhood. And I was like, hey, that's funny, because they have a book about stuff like this. Anyway, and then I left, just to not make the connection. The year came to an end, and I started working at a restaurant, and there was this girl who worked there, whose mother will be watching this, so I won't say her name, and she was very, very pretty. There was a lot of pretty girls in this conversion story. I guess I was really shallow in high school, and God had to send pretty girls to get my attention. She was Mormon, and I was always asking her questions about it because, you know, Romney was running. It was a talk of town. I actually think Romney just lost at this point. Yeah, he lost. It was the talk of town. You know, Mormons were everywhere. Everyone was thinking about them. So I just asked her. She's like, yeah, I'm Mormon. You want to come to church with me Sunday? And she was really pretty. So I'm like, yeah, tell me all about Joseph Smith. Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's go. I totally went. I was super excited because she was cute. I go, and as I walk in, two sister missionaries just, like, attack me. They're immediately like, hey, where are you from? What's your name? Yeah, my sister, Sister Bowden and Sister something Polynesian. I can't say the name correctly. But they immediately started talking to me about the gospel, and it felt really good. Like, they had this light around them, and it felt really good. And they gave me another book. They tried to give me another Book of Mormon, but I already had one. But a few days later, we go to Panera. And we start talking, and they're just like, so tell me what you believe in. And we're not trying to convert you, man. I'm like, sure you're not. I just told them what I believed in. I believed in God. I was an active member of the Methodist Church. I was on the youth worship band there. I had a lot of fun. I didn't meet with them again, but I felt something good. I had prayed about it. I prayed to know if the Book of Mormon was true, and I prayed to know if the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was, in fact, you know, the Lord's Church. I didn't receive a no, but I didn't look for a yes either. I just kind of did it. I prayed about it twice, I think, and that was it. I was like, all right, okay. Well, I don't really feel anything, so I didn't think about it. My senior year comes, and senior year is an emotional year for a lot of people, especially for people who are in theater, who are mentally unstable and emotional train wrecks, right? I wanted to know what I believed in. I needed to really know. There were a lot of things that didn't make sense to me. I still wanted to know what happened to people who died who weren't Christian, what happened to, you know, Muslims, what happened to gay people, what happened to babies, the mentally challenged people who just don't believe. You know, there are so many holes. And I wanted to know because it did not make sense to me that you just go to hell if you're not a Christian. So I was coming up with my own reasons and making up my own answers. And I was completely relying on myself and not relying on what the scripture says. I was just, it was all, you know, man-made philosophies of to justify why only Christians would go to heaven, rather. And it didn't feel right. I wanted to know what I believed in. So I had this feeling I should just look into the Book of Mormon a little more. I open it. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, I close it. And I don't pick it up. They're like, ah, that's enough. You know when you open the Book of Mormon and... Wait, can I get a Book of Mormon? When you open the Book of Mormon, you see this picture of Jesus, right? That's a nice little painting. But then you see this picture of Joseph Smith. And I thought it was like Thomas Jefferson or something. I didn't really know who it was. But I was like, what is that about? That is not Moses. That looks like Willy Wonka. I am not going to be a part of this church. That's weird. And I saw these people. I was like, what is going on here? Of course, I hadn't read it, so I was just immediately judging it. But I was looking at this art, like, what's going on? This is weird. Like, Jesus and the Aztecs, give me a break, right? So I want to know what I believe. I start talking about Mormons with some of the people in my Methodist church, and we go to this big youth camp. And in the Protestant world, you go to these big youth camps a lot. And there's always, it's always like a stadium full of people or a big, big gym full of people. And they have a band and they have a youth pastor. We weren't learning about prophets. We weren't learning about the atonement. We weren't learning about a lot of things. A lot of it was just, I like to call it meme Christianity, where we were high schoolers who were doing things that weren't good. And then we would see it like some kind of meme or a sermon about, hey, God loves you no matter what. And we're like, I love Jesus. I'm gonna go back to smoking weed and having sex. Like, that's really was the mentality. I know that's really messed up, but that's the way it was. So I was sitting there and I was in this wonderful conference and I just didn't really buy a lot of it. I knew that God was real, but I didn't buy that this was the way it was supposed to be. I just didn't believe it. I didn't believe that some guy, some pastor with no authority. It's not like an angel came and told him and like you know, or God was like, hey, you can preach my word. He was just some guy who signed up to do it. And who knows if he's right. He was just spewing his opinion out. And a lot of it was good, but it was still his opinion. There was no way to know if it was completely true. And I knew that it wasn't completely true because I looked at the fruits and the fruits weren't that good. So I began praying about the Book of Mormon a lot more. Again, praying about Mormonism. I knew there was some funky stuff going on in the Mormon church, but the people seemed to have good fruits, and I felt something. So the year ends. I go back to Apache, Oklahoma for a second mission trip, and I'm praying to know if I should look into the LDS church. That's what I'm praying about. And as I'm there, one of the chiefs, or one of the leaders of the Apache Methodist Church, I believe it was one of the chiefs there, came to our campsite and started telling us about how Christianity was brought to Apache. And he said, two Mormon missionaries came. And I was like, no freaking way. Because I was looking for a sign. And I was like, no way. No way was it that. Like, I was like, in my head, I'm like, I think I found my answer. And I just felt it. I was like, I need to go pray about this. I need to be a Mormon. In that moment, I knew, like, I need to be Mormon. I think that was my answer. Because it was so unlikely to happen. I go home, and actually remember I'm sitting outside of my house and I have my little Samsung Galaxy tablet and I'm looking on LDS.org and I'm reading about the kingdoms of glory and the layers of heaven and baptism for the dead. And the Spirit hit me so strong. Like, for the first time, I really felt the Spirit strong. I was crying and tears coming out of my eyes. I was like, this is it. I felt it. I right then, I knew I had to be a Mormon. So I messaged my LDS friend Paige, and I was like, hey, I think you guys are right. How do I become a Mormon? And you can't make a Mormon happier than saying, hey, I think you're right. How do I become a Mormon, right? We immediately go to Panera, where I met with my first, with the missionaries first, right? And we go to Panera again, and I meet with Paige, and we start talking about what I believe. And I was like, I just think you guys are right. So I go to FHE with her older brother after her and her older brother. I didn't know what FHE was, but she's like, you want to come to FHE? And I'm like, sure. And there are two sister missionaries there, Sister Lou and Sister Huber, who are now married, so that's not their names anymore. But Paige was kind of like, Quakey wants to take lessons. He kind of wants to be Mormon. And they're like really chill about it. They're like, cool, cool, yeah, give us your number. But I knew right when I turned around, they were like, yes, yes. Like, I knew it right when I was gone. They were like celebrating. By the way, one of the first questions I asked them were, do you guys believe in the Trinity? And they're like, no. God and Jesus are not the same person. I was like, oh, thank you. Because someone needs to understand that a guy can't be his own dad. I did not buy that. I did not believe that God came to earth as Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit, like, I did not buy it was all one person. And I've also it's kind of like modalism where, you know, it's one form that can become three. But to me, I didn't buy that because I knew that Jesus prayed to God in heaven. So he was talking to someone. So there had to be two at once. That's what I knew. And a lot of people just explained it like, oh, it's a mystery. You know, water can be gas and an ice cube and liquid at once. I'm like, yeah, but like, if you freeze a cup of water, it's going to be ice. It's not going to just be ice and gas and liquid at once. It's one thing. Like, I was so confused, and I did not buy it. The first lesson, they asked me if I wanted to be baptized, if I felt that it was true. And I was like, yeah, I feel like it's true. I'll get baptized. And I take the lessons. I get baptized. I had to tell my family and friends. I was nervous to tell my family because I knew that I had a very liberal family, and I knew that we could choose what we wanted in life. But for some reason, I was still afraid to tell them about Mormonism because Mormons are weird. So if I became Catholic, they'd be like, yeah, Catholic, all right, you know, Episcopalian, Methodist, do what you want. But if like Mormon would be like, oh, like, we need to draw the line somewhere, all right? We can only allow so much crazy, all right? The golden plates and kolob, that's a bit much. I don't know if I can let that in my house. So I got baptized and I didn't tell them. I hinted at it a few times, but that was about it. And the missionaries are always like, so how do your parents feel? And I'm like, yeah. I hinted at it that I was getting, I think I hinted toward my sister I was getting baptized, but not really. So I got baptized and then I tell my mom and she was like, yeah, if you believe in it, you should be baptized. And I was like, whew, well, yeah, I tell you, I thought you were going to react a lot worse. And their overall, opinion was like, I mean, it's weird, but I mean, a talking snake in the Garden of Eden causing the downfall of the world, that's also weird. So, it's not that crazy. And I was like, yeah, no, it really isn't. I get baptized, I become a Latter-day Saint. No coffee, no tea. I'm trying not to use any foul language. There's so many rules. And I'm just like, oh man, but I still believed it. I knew, even though it was hard, I believed it and I was going with it because I felt something really, really strong. I knew that the church was true. I didn't know everything about the church. I had a lot of questions. A lot of things I didn't have a testimony of, but I kept praying and kept searching and kept waiting for the answer to come to me. A lot of people join and they have questions and they stop searching. They stop growing in faith until they can answer that one question. I didn't do that. My questions were like a book. I put them on a bookshelf and eventually I would have an answer and I would go back and I'm like, oh, now I understand that. But I kept going and I started to receive all those answers and it felt great. I started to really understand who I was. Because before I didn't completely know who, what I represented, what I was supposed to do, why I was here. But I understood who I was as a child of God and what that means for me and what that means for all of us. And I understand why Christ is necessary, why we have a Savior. I understand what we can become. So, I join, I get the priesthood, and then I get a temple recommend right away. They trusted me that much, I don't know why. I get that temple recommend. And then I go to San Francisco, and I start my college journey. And now I'm at BYU. And that's how I became a Mormon. Boom. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And if you don't want to watch our videos, they'll still pop up on your video feed on the right side of your YouTube
Yeah.
channel. They'll be there. We'll find you someday.